Brother Hanson from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of the Revelation. And I think we're at the 12th chapter now. And we're at a few things where we were trying to use other scriptures to determine the meaning. Now, in chapter 12, verse 7, the war. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. Now, when he says then, what is he speaking of? Now, this not necessarily a chronological order like we've said in the past. This could be just a number of different places in time. So we don't tie ourselves up to one place in time and then go chronologically to the next point in time in the book of the Revelation, because it doesn't happen. Now, the war broke out, and this is from Daniel 10 and 13. John draws the figure of Michael, whose name means Mighty One of God, describes his defeat of Satan. This defeat occurred quite possibly the day when Christ was crucified on the cross, and when he said, "It's finished." This might have happened at that point in time. So Michael evicted the slanderer, the accuser. And the ancient serpent refers to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, before Christ, of course. And this descriptive name for the opponent means slanderer. Satan means accuser, if you didn't know. And refers to earlier Jewish conception of Satan. It was a heavenly being in God's court who served the function of a prosecuting attorney. It was when he began to overstep his bounds that he began to be called the slanderer who falsely accuses people of God. Now, you might think of him in a different way after hearing that. Satan being a prosecuting attorney, a lawyer, or a liar, because he's the father of all lies, and we see him now as someone accusing the brethren. Accusing, he is the accuser of the brethren trying to find fault. So we know that he's not on our side. He's on the opposite side because a third of the angels went with him. A third of the angels went with Satan to accuse, to prosecute, to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy the church. So we know his job. If you didn't know before, now you know. He's an accuser. Again, heaven breaks forth in a song of victory over Satan, 12 and verse 10 and 12, and 12:11. How did the church win the victory over evil? We know that because first it's the obedient death of Christ. It was the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, shed like a sacrificial lamb, and second, because of the faithful proclaiming of the word of the testimony, to the point where the love for life did not deter them from death. This timeless recipe for spiritual victory is a valid today in this day and age as well. 12 and 13, we got here the woman. Spiritual Israel, the church, whom the devil will seek to destroy. He comes down in great wrath, knowing but he has but a short time. And we find here that we don't know all of the chronological happenings in order, because we see the way it appears in the book, but it's not necessarily the way it's going to appear physically. 12:14, two wings, gave the spiritual Israel two wings, like those of an eagle, reinforcing the link with Exodus, is this image from Exodus 19:4. You see, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you here to myself. The place where God brought them to himself was Sinai, in the desert, a year, 2 years and a half year. Here for the only time in the book, John repeats the exact same wording of Daniel, actually. So, the scripture doesn't contradict itself. It always agrees. There's no contradiction in the Word of God. If you interpret it correctly, there's no contradictions. The only contradiction is in the mind of the devil. And in the mind of people that don't bother to seek it out, to study it out, and to figure it out. There is the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. Neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. And that's the only way you're going to know them. They're spiritually discerned. They can't know them in the physical. The only thing you can do is contradict it. Say how wrong it is. Because that's the way the natural man works, folks. That's the way the natural man, he's an accuser. Because he's like the devil. The natural man is like the devil himself. And he's used by the devil, you know. And the natural man will accuse God and accuse the Bible and accuse the church, accuse Christ of everything in the book. Now, 12:15, the serpent spewed a torrent of water out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away. This is something that he has been doing for years and years and years. Hundreds of years. He's been spewing a torrent of water out of his mouth. The dragon, the enemy of God. God's people, you know, the dragon, the enemy of God's people, is referred to as water, a water dragon. In various places in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 29:3, since his home is the primeval abyss, which contains the waters under the earth, water would be the natural weapon for him. Perhaps John has in his mind the time of Pharaoh tried to drown the Hebrew babies in the Nile, which corresponds to the slaughter of the holy innocents in the New Testament. 12:16, the earth swallowed the flood. Perhaps this could refer to Numbers 16:33, when the earth swallowed up the unrighteous Israelites in order to protect the holiness of the others. God caused the earth to swallow up those that came against Moses in the wilderness. Did you know that? Similar to this. Now, 12:17, the rest of her offspring. If Satan can't defeat Christ or his church as a whole, he'll attack the individual Christians. 12:18, this verse is transitional to the next scene. The Romans and often others attacked from the sea. The dragon, the power behind Babylon, poised there. And we find that the expulsion of Satan from heaven has been interpreted and applied to many different events in history. But we're not completely sure of when this took place, to be honest with you. It's Satan's eviction took place during a time when he had no more access to heaven to argue with God concerning his people. Now, whether this took place at the time of the crucifixion or at another time afterwards, no one really knows for sure. Maybe when Christ was crucified on the cross, this took place. Or at the time that Jesus said something like to his disciples, he said, "I saw Satan cast down." Now, is that a vision that he concerning the future, or is that something that I saw Satan cast down during his crucifixion? Satan's expulsion could have took place on Good Friday. And when Satan was defeated, Jesus took all of the sins of the world upon himself. And when he took all of the sins on himself, there was no more that Satan could do to rob salvation from those who accept him as their Lord and Savior. So this is what we're going to believe. But, like I say, there's a lot of things we don't know as well. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know it all or anybody knows it all. Nobody does. The less I know, the more God knows about it, because you know, when a person claims to know everything, they don't. They don't. Well, that's our time for today, folks. If you like this study, go to our website, krciradio.com. You can shoot us an email there from in one of our links and let us know you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. And most of these will be uploaded. I'm going to try to get them uploaded before too long, these ones on these new messages on Revelation. And also, call us at 928-368-6766. Leave us a message. And we'll certainly call you back if you have something to share with us or something. You can email us the testimony. We'd love to hear your testimony. We'll air it here on the show here. So if you want to shoot us an email, we'd certainly like to hear from you. Testimony of some type. And also write to us at KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study. Show yourself approved to God.